Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Oh, bless His holy, holy name. That's it. Give Him a big round of applause. Shout unto Him with a voice of triumph. Turn your faith loose. Open your hearts. Let the word of the Lord be sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it be like a hammer that smiteth the rock. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. He gives a parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee, one is a publican. Now the Pharisees got their name probably from their enemy because it meant the separated ones. And that's exactly what they were. They had become a group of touch-me-nots who did not want to be tainted by the sinners of this world. They could not help see those that were bound delivered. They could not help the sick to be healed. Instead, they gathered between the four walls of the religious circles, ranging from 6,000 to 7,000 in number, experiencing absolutely no growth because they really didn't want that. It was us four, no more. I mean, talk about new souls added to their church. They didn't want to be burdened with discipling new members and everything. I mean, they didn't want the lower crust of society. They only wanted those to come that would make their church look good. So this Pharisee comes into the temple and here's how he prays. Lord, he says, I'm glad that I'm not as other people as this, as an adulterer, extortioner. I'm not even as this old publican over here. But I fast twice in the week. I pay tithe of all that I possess. And he says, you know, I've been tallying it everything up, and I'll tell you what, I've just come to the conclusion that I'm a pretty good fellow. In other words, I benefit your church. I make this temple look good. It really does something to the eyes of this community to know that I belong to your church. You really got a bargain when you got me. But the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In other words, I know that I'm nothing more than a sinner that was saved by grace. I realize that I am coming before a throne of mercy. There's nothing that I've done to merit the favor that you have shown my way. I simply stand here, mighty God, in your mercy. You don't need me. I'm not an asset to your kingdom. You had a perfectly good church before you dug me out of the miry clay. You'd probably be better off without me, but I had to be in your presence one more time. I just had to come and offer up some praise and thanksgiving to you. Jesus said, which of the two went to their house justified? One man came and dropped his good works before the throne of God and said, there it is. Another man came and says, I don't have any good works to give you. I've simply come in your mercy. Mercy rewrote my life. And if you're not going to be merciful to me, I know that it's no good me being here. So you see, religion. The Pharisee had religion. He had the motions and the mechanics of living for God. He had the outward shell. He had a form of godliness. He had the pharisaical paraphernalia. Hey, I mean, them dudes, man, they had their robes a certain length, and then they had borders on their garments. They would hold them so they would not get tainted by this world. I mean, they could bend the law to soothe their conscience and to make it convenient to them. If you were a wealthy Pharisee, friend, you could have a good time living for God, what they call living for God. A Sabbath day journey was only so many furlongs, you could only travel to your hut. But you see, a wealthy Pharisee would build a hut here, another hut here, another one over here. I mean, he'd have himself, he'd go as far as he wanted on the Sabbath day because he justified himself. He dotted the I and he crossed the T and he said, I simply went to my own hut. But you see, they got their beginning with Cain, which is the birth of religion, man's way to God. And Cain brought an offering to the Lord. It was not required that he bring an offering of blood, but he bought a cheap offering and laid it before the Lord, and there was no anointing. There was no approval from God of the offering. But Abel over here, I mean, this is more than formality with Abel. It's going to cost him something to make a sacrifice to God. And the writer of Hebrews is going to write that by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And he being dead yet speaks to us that God only accepts our best, because only the best will do for the best. And Cain said, let's just go to church and get it over with. Let's just go through this ritual and get back home. He's a tightwad. He's a cheapo. His heart isn't in it. It would be better for him not to even go and bring an offering. So he says, any old vegetable will do. He just goes and picks up the spoil off of the ground. Because you see, your sacrifice will show what you think of your God. Hallelujah. Wasn't it Jesus in the house of Simon the Pharisee? And I mean, Simon is trying, he's putting on the dog. He's trying to impress Jesus. And, you know, he wanted to show off his house to the Lord. And he says, now I just don't invite anybody to my pad except for they be the board of directors of the bank, the mayor, whatever. Especially a lowly carpenter from Nazareth. You ought to feel privileged to be here. He may have not used them exact words, but Jesus knew that's what his heart was saying. And Jesus could have easily said, Simon, if you only saw the house I left to come to yours, if you only saw the place that I gave up to come to your lowly little abode. But while Jesus was sitting there being bored by all the small talk, an uninvited guest came in. She knows she's making an imposition. She's Mary. She has to be in his presence one more time. She doesn't come and stand right in front of him. No, she goes behind the Lord. And she breaks the alabaster box and pours it over the Lord. And then she stoops and takes her hair and dries the feet of the Lord. And Simon is saying, if he is a prophet, he ought to discern the kind of woman she is. Don't call that common or unclean that which God has cleansed. If they don't look just like you, don't cast stones at them. Take them stones and build them an altar. For heaven's sakes, don't get caught in the vile claws of religion. If he was a man of God, he ought to know what kind of a harlot she was. Jesus said, Simon, all you see is a waste. But when I came into your house, you didn't even offer to wash my feet with water from your well. You didn't offer me a kiss. She has never ceased to do either of the above. He said, you see, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Because to whom little is forgiven, to him loveth little. I understand your problem, Simon. You never were washed. You didn't need me in the first place. You see, you've got your religion. You didn't need salvation. You don't need Christianity because you're a good man. You see, what I'm trying to say is, if you're in here tonight and you're good, God can't help you because He did not come to call the righteous to repentance. They that are whole don't need the doctor. If you're going to trust in your religion, God can't help you. So Cain, he's just going to get it over with, and Abel is over here. I don't know exactly how. I mean, that you could look and see the approval of God, whether it was the Shekinah glory consumed the offering, or whether the guy was over there tearing up the sod, having a dancing spell. But it was evident and obvious that God approved of his sacrifice. And Cain looks across, and he sees his brother under the anointing of God. And he goes over and slays his brother. Why are you wrong? Why is your countenance fallen? In other words, why are you frowning? He said, you knew that if you would have done well, I would have approved of it. You knew what was expected of you. It was not some deep, hidden thing you had to figure out. You just know I require the best of what you have. If I mean anything at all to you, come on, show it to me. But he said, if not, sin lieth at the door. I don't know exactly what the physical appearance would be to show the mark that God placed upon Cain, but I will show you what one mark of Cain is. Keep your eyes open for it. Every time he leaves the house of the Lord, he has a frown on his face. It was a waste of time to him. You know why? He's cheap. Nobody could move him. You see, he didn't put nothing in. He didn't take nothing out. He should have just stayed home and got rested up for tomorrow's workday. Because he did not prepare an offering for the Lord. I'm not talking your billfold. I'm talking about your heart coming in the presence of God. Do you realize that we did not deserve to come in here on our own merits? It was the grace of God that's allowing me to preach, but beyond preaching, just to sit here and sing with you and worship the Lord with you and to feel what we're feeling. That's the grace of God. I don't deserve that. And the Jews, every time they came to the house of God, it was required for them to bring a sacrifice. Where do we Gentiles think we can get off with anything less? Oh, you can tell Cain. When the Spirit of God begins to move, Cain can't stand it. Because he didn't bring the Lord the right kind of a sacrifice, and there's no anointing on him. Meanwhile, Abel is over there being blessed, and Cain is offering the tenth gift. Suspicion. He can tell who's in the flesh and who's in the spirit. Honey, the Bible didn't tell me one time that I had a dance in the spirit. As a matter of fact, the only time I've danced in the flesh. I've used my 2 feet and my 10 toes to do so. There's been times I've been led by the Spirit and blessed by the Spirit and get drunk and lost in the Holy Ghost. But then there's times I've opened my eyes and just begin to jump up and down for praises to the Lord because I wasn't being blessed to do it. I was being a blessing in doing it. I was giving Him something. Hallelujah. I was praising Him. We sit and wait till we're enveloped in the presence of God. We wait till God turns us on. We wait till the song leader hits the right song, the preacher hits the right notes in his message, and we'll a crescendo will rise. But where's the Abel at that says, hey, I have bought an offering to the Lord. I'm not wanting just to be blessed. It's my desire to be a blessing. A preacher, you can depend upon me. When the going is rough, I'll be there to lean on. I'll be praising God. I'll be standing behind everything you're saying. So you see, Cain died, but his spirit survived the flood, came right into the New Testament and wrapped his arms around the Mosaic Law. And he perverted their thinking and got them to trust in the works. So here Jesus comes. Now get the picture now. Here are the Pharisees having church. They are praying to Jehovah God. But they're so blind they can't see the forest for the trees. Because Jehovah God has put on flesh. He has walked in their church. But they don't recognize Him because some people are so religious that they wouldn't know the move of God if they fell over it. Now, I know you're a little used to the gifts of the Spirit, but let me just preach as if I was preaching General Conference at the Superdome because this is close I'll ever get to it. So I'm going to just go ahead and pretend I'm at the General Conference. Jesus walked into the midst, but they could not recognize. Even when He looked at a man with an impotent arm and He says, stretch forth your hand. And He stretched it forth. They done cartwheels. They ran around the building. Them Pharisees sweated up their beautiful costly robes. No, they didn't. Hey, He made them look bad because they were miracle-less. They were gift-less. They were power-less. But they had to show to the eye of the public in order to show to save face. They had to prove they were greater than Him in some way. So they went back to the old crutches. Says, it is not lawful to heal on the Sabbath. Gifts of the Spirit begin to operate. It's like them bunch of disciples in the ship. This is the devil. I know it's the devil. I know it is. Jesus said, no, it's not. It's I. No, I think it's the devil. Peter, what are you doing? Get back in the ship! The devil's trying to end your ministry. You get out on the water, honey, and it's adios, bro, to you. Because that's how keen of an edge they had on discernment. So the Pharisees are having church. They're going through all the rituals. You know, I mean, these guys, they know how to pray. They have recitals, man, vain repetitions. I mean, these people, they know how to pray. You know, oh God, great Jehovah God. You may even catch the superficial glitter of a crocodile tear going down one of their cheeks. But it's not coming from the heart. They're just probably there on some pity spell anyhow. That on Wall Street in Jerusalem, that their stock market crashed or whatever. And here they are. They don't care that the naked aren't clothed, the hungry aren't fed, that the prisons aren't fed. They could care less that there's lepers dying. You know why? They don't have the power to help them. So ignore them. Jesus walks by Bethesda's pool. There's a man laying on a cot 38 years. Jesus said, "Rise up and walk." No, he didn't. "Rise up, take up your bed." Because he knows who's going to be a few blocks down the road. He knows it's going to be a bunch of religious good-for-nothings. They're going to point their finger and say, "It's not lawful to carry your bed on the Sabbath." Look at the irony. Look at how stupid this is. He'd been laying on that cot 38 years, that cot's been carrying him. And now Jesus comes. Isn't it funny? On the Sabbath, you find him plucking corn. On the Sabbath, you find him healing sick bodies. On the Sabbath, you find him raising up cripples. You know what he was doing? I mean, it's just like my mother. I'll tell you what, when I was a young fellow, I took that thumbnail off twice with a hammer. I just hit the wrong nail. She'd take old bread crust and wrap them around, and she'd put gauze tape on that, and she called that a poultice. You've ever heard tell of a poultice before? Jesus was wrapping a poultice around that old Pharisaical bunch and trying to draw that venom out of their body. But it was useless, so he said, "Forget it. I can't work with these." He said, "I can't work with religion. So therefore, I will no longer move with religion." He left it. And he goes and finds ignorant fishermen. He says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." But he said, "Here's the high." He said, "The world is going to know my church. Not," he said, "because I'm not going to dwell in ham, and the temple's made with hands. You are going to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am with you, but I am going to be in you." He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. They're going to cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall take up serpents." He said, "I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of your enemy." He said, "It will." Hey, the world will know you for more than a shingle swinging in the wind by the roadside saying Pentecost or apostolic. He said, "When they see the signs following you, they will know that you're one of them Jesus fanatics." Hallelujah. And so the Pharisees were so provoked at this that they got on the government because they had sway with the government, because they were involved in the political arena. We war and entangle ourselves with all the affairs of this life, and we're too busy with that to really be concerned about the church of the living God. Good Lord. Your hope for Louisiana is not for Romer to get in office again. It's not for Edwin Evers, hopefully, to goodness, he'll get back in office. It's not... the burden is not on the Democrats or the Republicans. They're powerless. The power to decide is in the church. You're the salt of the earth. You are the one that can bind in earth and it will be bound in heaven. They don't wrestle demon powers. Just say no to drugs. Come on now. You're going to walk up to some crack addict and say, "Just say no." You need to walk up and say, "Hey, if you ask Jesus to wash you in His blood, I will rebuke that demon spirit. God will set you free. Fill you with the Holy Ghost." So they pressured the government into killing Jesus. So thus, the Pharisees killed Jesus. And if you don't watch it, religion will kill every bit of Jesus in you until all you have is a form. So God looks down at 1990. He's sitting on His great white ivory throne. He has got all the power that He needs. He doesn't need the power that He has. He can just speak and do anything He pleases. He's up there just shaking, wanting to do something. But the church is going around in the religious circles and practices and ideas and schemes and gimmicks. And all of these things we're really trying to have revival. All we're doing is getting in the way of a move of God. You know why? Because we're like the Pharisees. We just want to save our hides. How many of you remember the story of Ryan White? The boy from Indiana? Is it starting to come back to you now? He died of AIDS. But how many... I think he was 17 when he died of AIDS. I think it was. But how many of you know where he got the disease AIDS at? You don't know? He got it in the place least that you would least expect to get AIDS. Can you guess it? You're right. The hospital. There was nothing major wrong with him. He just went to the hospital for a checkup. And I believe it was the needle that was contaminated. He got AIDS. What a shame, though, really, to go to a place that is supposed to be where you get rid of disease. Walk in there with no disease and walk out with an incurable disease. Did not the Bible talk about lest we make him a twofold child of the devil? Is it possible for someone to come in out of sin and get in our church and then to be worse off than they were before they ever came? Because they got a religious disease that was incurable. And the reason why it was incurable, because they could never see it themselves. And all they did, they got their nose in the air, their holiness gag on, and then they would not touch or be touched by anybody. That person is worse off. That's why he said, I would that you be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Here is the church world today. Here is the church world today. I am not making light of standards. I believe in standards. I do. I believe that it's number one, it shows an affiliation. Number two, it doesn't make you holy, but it's guardrails on the straight and narrow road. I believe that. It's guardrails. Don't get too over here. Don't get too over there. But don't ever trust in them to make you holy. Because the only thing that makes you holy is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And if that is not present, I said, if that is not present in your life, if He is not Lord of all your life, you're nothing but a dressed up person that's a better than thou art, that's contaminated by a religious spirit. Come on now! What about hitting our knees in an all-night prayer meeting? What about fasting and praying and waiting upon God? I'm not taking anything away from what I just mentioned on the standards. I'm just simply saying is, what I do is go around and babysit dressed up Pentecostals who could care less about revival. I know how to get them going. I can stand them on the head as much as the other person. Bless God, this one God, Jesus' name, gospel. I believe in that. I will die for that message. But we know that, for heaven's sakes. Lord, come on, go to IBM and walk in there and say, I want a high-tech job. Well, sure, sit down. Show me your credentials. Oh, here they are. And all you do is wave in front of their eyes a birth certificate. They'll toss you out. You getting the message? I'm not making light of Acts 2:38. That's how you get to God. But what has happened is we need an attitude adjustment, because Acts 2:38 has become an Acts and 2:38. And we just shoot and chop and destroy. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. If the Spirit doesn't draw the person, they can't come anyhow. Hallelujah. I'm through these little games, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the holiest of them all. Of course, then we do something unwise. We compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Well, you are. Meanwhile, you see, I see more than Minden, Louisiana. My world is bigger than Monroe, Louisiana. My call of God has made me be committed to travel to the four corners of the world. You see, I rub shoulders with 12 and 13 year old prostitutes. I'm fixing to go to a camp meeting where I will pray for several AIDS victims who are dying. They're bound! They're bound in perversion! And of course, we just wiped it off the list there. Well, I didn't see too many of them recover. You may never see too many of them recover, but if one does and walks on golden streets, hallelujah, that's worth it all. But when 2,000 years ago, He said, "This is My blood, and it has power to cleanse every man from every sin." Oh, no. We want to reach the good people. We want the people to come to the church that's going to make our community look good. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to bring it on down now and see if you're really in this thing now. If they're the color of our skin, then we'll deal with them. But if not, we'll say, adios. Go on down there. Haven't you learned yet the war is over? The civil war is over? Hey, come on now. It doesn't matter if you're as white as a sheet, as black as coal, as skinny as a rake, or as big as all outdoors, as rich as Dave Paul Getty, or as poor as Job's turkey. He said, If any man thirst, let him come. I'll in no wise cast him away. You see, when my dad started attending that little church in Black Harbor, New Brunswick, Canada, you see, I'm the youngest of 19 children. No twins, all single births, the same mom and same dad. My dad was an alcoholic, lost everything that he had. He had nothing to offer the kingdom of God. Hey, some of them says, "Now, Pastor, we don't need this kind of a family attending our church. And it isn't going to look good. I mean, there's going to be certain people that will never come." The pastor had enough of God. He said, "That's fine. Let her empty out. We'll fill it right up with derelicts. But it'll be people that know how to praise God." I'm going to tell you what. You go to the Superdome and this year at General Conference, and I'll tell you how to look for the new converts. Now, you'll probably find me sitting way up in the bleacher and just being bored with another general convention. But look on the front benches of the Superdome. Look at the fanatics. It'll be some guy with stovepipe pant legs that the hem never did meet his ankles. It's Noah compatible, friend. It's flat material. And they'll have the family Bible off the coffee table, toting it under their arm. And they just can't wait to get to church. And all these Pentecostals, it's like heaven to them. Because they've been rubbing shoulders a few weeks before that with dope addicts, with alcoholics, with the lost scum of this world. And this is blowing their minds. And so while we're feeling corns and bunions, they're feeling the Holy Ghost. They're up there on the front benches. Would you believe on the front benches of a general conference? I see them every year. No, that little old woman, no. That poor old crimpoline dress she's got. It didn't come from, you know, from one of the high fashion short stores. Oh, you didn't take the time to explain it to her? You didn't take the time to tell her this was a fashion show? Meanwhile, the naked are still naked. Come on, whatever happened to good old love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. Come on, though I would speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I'm become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, if all I do is have that and not charity. Though I bestow my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, having the charity, I'm nothing. I can even have faith to move mountains. If I don't have charity, I'm still nothing. Oh, you see, we're too religious. Mr. Edgar from Arkansas made our day a few years ago, 1988. I mean, you know, some dudes actually left the food up for the cats and dogs. Ran their credit cards up to the max. Because they figure they're going to split anyhow. And then when Jesus didn't come, Rosh Hashanah, 1988, what a disappointment. So right back in the same rut, the same rituals and formality. And then he'll come, if he comes out with another book, all of a sudden our ears will perk back up again and we'll be, oh God, get me out of here, please. He's not coming back for that kind of a bride that can't make it, that's not compatible against the devil, that's just barely making it. He's coming back for a church that is occupying, turning cities upside down, a threat to the devil's cause. Come on now. Hey, when Gabriel blows that trumpet, I want to be there with the M16. I want to be the spiritual Rambo. I want the devil to say, hurry up and get him out of here. I can't do nothing while he's here. No. You know, I was raised. Of course, I understand this, but I'm going to explain it in a moment. But I was raised to believe, and I preach myself, sinners should not feel comfortable in our midst. Now I'm gonna just kind of alter that a little bit. Sinners should feel conviction and a guilt for sin, but they ought to feel comfortable because he's the comforter. And if they can't feel comfort here, where in the name of God are they ever going to feel comfort? We're going to get out of here. You know what our problem is? We're just so homesick we're no earthly good. Well, we ain't never been this homesick before. Lord, I want to get out of here. Oh, I'm so homesick. Now, I believe in the literal rapture of the church, the catching away of the saints. I believe in that. I believe in the new Jerusalem. I believe that we're going to live in heaven. I believe that this old earth is going to be wiped away, just a clean slate. I believe that. And I believe the Spirit and the Bride say, come, we ought to desire to go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting that down. But what I am getting at is this wimpy attitude where we're just trying to get... If you're only trying to get your own carcass safe, honey, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost will make you share. I mean, after the Book of Acts explosion, what happened? They that own things, possess things, they bought it. I mean, they sold it and they distributed to those that were in need. That's exactly what happened. Because a giving spirit came. You can always tell when a real Holy Ghost spirit comes because a giving spirit. You'll give of your time, of your effort. You'll give to your neighbor. Come on now. So when you heard Brother Buster was going to come, was the first thought in your mind was, oh, good. He'll call me out and I'll get healed. Or was it, oh good, my neighbor that is lost, maybe they'll come if I invite them to pray and they'll be saved. Who did you think of first? Praise His holy name. So we find, now my analogy of this message after preaching it again is the same conclusion. The answer is not in compromise. The answer is not to go to the other way to get so holy that no one will want to come near you. But the answer is, break the vessel like God told Gideon. Smash the vessel so that the world can see a light. Do you have a minute? Is there a skid row? Is there the proverbial skid row in Monroe or West Monroe? Is there someplace similar to it? Is there? Is it? Do you have a ministry down there? Do you have a ministry? Do you ever walk up and just put your arm around that old father and just tell him, hey, Jesus Christ loves you. Do you want to affect this town? Do you want to get on the map as far as this town concerned? Then get right down and minister to the very lowest of the least. You know what our problem is? I'm going to tell you what it is in the South, because I've preached around here long enough to know. We look at the person who was stooped in some kind of perversion or some gross sin, and we say, yes, but that kind never does stick. Oh, but what we don't realize is, you see, I just had a friend of mine baptize a person who at an early age was messed up a little right here in their thinking. And then someone of the same sex got their hands upon them. And they never did get over that, because they were just like soft cement at just a young age. And after this, it influenced them so bad they just simply thought that was the way they were supposed to be. So growing up like that, they just figured they were the person actually just thought it was evil. Someone of an opposite sex in a different body. So they went and they got an operation. So after living that degrading life and wrestling every night with suicide, getting bored with crack and every other drug out there because that wasn't even powerful enough to give them any relief, they walk into the voice of Pentecost Church in San Francisco. And they come down to the altar. And they put their hands up and said, Lord Jesus, I doubt if you'll even do it. But after the lifestyle I live, would you wash me in Calvary's crimson? You told me. You see, do you realize what crimson means? You just dip a garment in red once, it's not crimson. In order to make it crimson, you must dip it twice. And after that, it can never be cleaned. It must be discarded. You see, I was dipped in Adam's sin. Then I was dipped in my sin. I was crimson. In other words, no detergent could clean my body. But then Jesus said, here is my blood. This blood's for you. He said, Jesus, if you'll wash me in your blood, I'll live for you. I'll do anything you ask. Pastor, baptize him in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. The person came up out of the water and broke the water, speaking in other tongues. And the pastor began to talk. Now, how are you going to survive? How are you going to live for God? The fellow says, what do you mean, how am I going to live for God? That's the least thing I'm worrying about. I was on the road to hell. I was suicidal. I was so messed up that nothing, no shrink could help me. And if God will do what He done for me, what do you mean, can I live for God? That's the least of my problems. Because I was at the very lowest state of a human being. See, that's the way they think. All I'm simply saying is this. Come on, Cain, you tightwad. You really think, man, you really think God's impressed with you. Come on, where do we get this feeling that God is partial to us? That we can do all this junk and just walk back in the field of spirit. Look, where's the fear of God anyhow? Where's the desire gone to pray and touch God? Where's that gone? Oh, we just come and we give it that little patty cakes for Jesus. The heathens out there right tonight, and they're just tearing up the bars and taverns all across America. And they're giving the devil. They'll say, hey, I'll give you more than 10%. Some of them thousands of them tonight will sign the whole paycheck over to them. And the devil will not. I'll tell you what the devil will give them back until they don't have room to contain. He'll give them headaches that they can't contain. Heartaches they can't contain. Problems they can't contain. Sickness they can't contain. Problems that's the kind of stuff that the devil will give them back. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Pray. All I'm simply saying is there's 6 billion people that need to hear this message. And the church has got to be more concerned about just herself. We just finished. It was my 7th time to preach in Stockton, this past week, Stockton, California. And it was the greatest revival that I have ever had there. In the 6 previous trips, this by 7 was definitely the best. Dozens and dozens and dozens of people for the first time came to an altar, got washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. What is greater than that? What's greater than that? Is there an Abel in the house? Is there an Abel in the house? Hallelujah. Come on, folks. I tell you what, I'm just not into tickling ears. I'm not into tapping you on the back and just making smile. But I have been to so many meetings that the reason why we're dancing and shouting is a braggadocious proclamation about who we are and what we are. And if you had any discernment at all, that's exactly the spirit you would discern. We're just proud of what we are. Do you know that you can even be Pentecost? Be religious. Come on, don't you rely on that dry little old few words and tongue or dialect. You make sure there's some fire backing it up. Make sure there's an unction inside your spirit. It ought to lead and guide you in all truth. It ought to cause you to want you to live godly. Come on, put away all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Hallelujah. We need a mental enema in Pentecost so bad. We need to be flushed completely out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Folks, I'm not going to be guilty of saying it's not lawful to heal on the Sabbath. Peer pressure may just about destroy us, but I'm not going to join the crowd that says, it's not lawful to carry your cot on the Sabbath. Because if the supernatural does not back up my ministry, something's wrong. I didn't say you had to do it like Brother Buster does it, because I don't believe in that. Because God is not in a duplicating machine business where He makes one like the other. He's not. I mean, you know, you operate in the Spirit differently. But all I'm saying is, if there are not signs and wonders, a supernatural happening, confirming your ministry, something's wrong. Because where God is, there are miracles. Not just miracles of healing, there are miracles of all kinds happening. People being blessed of the Lord. You can't help it. You're going to be blessed. Because He said if you would pay your tithe and your offering, He would even destroy the devourer from you. Believe that we can have a 50 soul revival. Brand spanking new ones. I'm telling you, we had better get ready for God to use whatever means necessary to awake this bride up to her full potential. Because I'm telling you that God is going to do it. He is going to send a move of the Spirit. He is going to do that. There's no doubt about that. If you really believe in a 50 soul revival, then how many of you know 3 people that don't know Jesus you know, they don't have the Holy Ghost. They're not living for God. Do you know just three people like that? Do you know three people like that? If you know three people like that, you're going to represent them by raising your hand. Just three people? That's all, just three people. Do you know three people like that? Then if you think it's important they receive Jesus this week, would you put your hand up? Oh, come on. Don't bother shoving that hand up there. I mean, we're only talking about heaven or hell. We're only talking life or death now. That's all we're talking about. Will you pray an hour for them tomorrow? 1 hour, just 1 hour. Would you pray 1 hour for those three people tomorrow? Hallelujah. Just sincerely pray. Would you pray that God would go before you and open the door to their heart? And then, would you call them up, go see them, make some kind of contact with them, and invite them to come here tomorrow night with you? Oh, I want to see you commit yourself. Because Jesus is going... Where's all the members of this church at anyhow? Put your hand up if you're a member of this church. Well, I'm not seeing every hand go up. I mean, when it comes to inviting them up, you all raise your hand that you're a member of the church pretty well, but I didn't see every hand go up to say that you'd invite just three people out. They came. I'll be seeing you tonight. I'll be seeing that frown across your face. He just stepped on me. The old Indian said, no stinging, no curing. But what I want to do is walk in here tomorrow night and see the fish in the pool. I want to walk up and see it ready. We're going to believe God for miracles that we've only dreamed about. But if you really want to see the supernatural, bring in some sinners, man. God just doesn't want to entertain us. My Lord, if you think the only reason for the gift is just so I can call you up, you go, wow, you've missed the whole principle of the gift. It's not to awe you. There has got to be a greater need than just to reveal and to awe you. God is wanting to do something greater than just heal and to touch. I'm not taking away from healing with the touch of the Lord. I'm just simply saying there's nothing like getting people in here and just letting them feel the Holy Ghost. That's all you've got to do. All you've got to do. Matter of fact, why don't some of you test me to see if I'm a man of God? Anybody here want to volunteer to test to prove the man of God? Okay, would you just invite three people here tomorrow night? Bring 50 people here tomorrow night. That's all you have to do. You want to see if I'm a man of God? Just 50 people here tomorrow night. Do your best. God will do the rest. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Take all the religion out of me. All the good works, take them out of me. I stand before you unworthy of the precious blood, but yet it flowed for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. He died for my sin, and the only sin He knew was my sin, but He took upon Himself and nailed it to His cross. And by His stripes we were healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Now would you begin to lift your voices up to the Lord? Operate on me, Jesus. Circumcise the heart. Turn the searchlight of your word upon me, God, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer for simply just the lost. That's what I'm going to pray for. So, if you will invite three people out tomorrow night, would you raise your hand and pray this prayer with me? Okay, I want you to whisper the names of the people. Don't say them out loud. Just say them to you and God. Father, you know every name that is being mentioned right now. Lord, it's more than just saying I had 50 souls pray through in my revival. Because number one, we know it is not my revival. It's yours, Jesus. But we want at least this number, at least this many added to your kingdom. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we would have just scores of visitors come here tomorrow night and feel the Holy Spirit of God envelop around them in Jesus' name. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, will you make contact with them? Will you make contact with them? You'll do that? I know it's summertime, but God is not on vacation. He's not in Maui. He's not in Aruba. He is on the scene, ready to do exactly what you ask Him to do. Why don't we take a moment right now and see what God will do for us right tonight before we leave here. Pray. How many of you have come in need of healing tonight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I guess we can handle this. Oh, this is going to be easy. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Not a whole lot. I guess we can take care of that, don't you think? Now, how many of you really are in need of healing? Why don't the rest of you put your hand up if you're in need of healing? Okay. In the first prayer, without taking a long time, let's just stand to our feet. Those of you who, at this moment, you are presently in pain, stand to your feet. Let's get you healed quickly in Jesus' name. You are suffering with some sort of pain in your body right now. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, folks, this is not a sideshow. I don't do this for my health, just to prove that I can do it either. I do it because these people are suffering and they need healing. So, now, we could just pray a mass prayer, but we will, as the Lord directs, minister individually if you'll give God all the praise. But if this becomes just a time of entertainment, I will quit before I get started because I cannot do nothing except the Lord send us the liberty to do it. I don't care how many times we've done it before. We cannot do it again until the Lord gives us the ability to do it. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Blessed be His holy name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory be unto Jesus. Say it with me. Lord Jesus, heal the sick bodies. Save those that are lost. And deliver everyone who is bound. In Jesus' name. Amen. Where are you suffering? Where are you suffering? Where are you suffering? Put your hands up to Jesus, all three of you. The leg, the neck, the neck and the back. Be completely healed, every one of you. In Jesus' name. Think He can do it that quick and simple?
Yes.
Put your hands down. Pick your leg up. How's it feel?
Feels good.
Any pain?
No.
How's your neck feeling? The neck or the pain? The pain. Because if you ask Him for bread, He will not give you a stone. You'll not get something you don't need or something you don't want. Because if you don't want it, don't ask for it. You won't get it. How's your neck feeling? How's your back feeling? Everything's all right? That's because you're healed. That's pretty good. Three people healed with one prayer. Very economical. Saving a lot of time. Where are you suffering? Sinuses? Slip your hands up to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, make the ways of the Lord more clear to her. And the way, the path that is she is to take, and the steps of a good person are ordered by God, for it is not in man to order his own steps. Just say, Lord, here I stand. Show me your way, and God will speak clearly, and you'll know exactly what the Lord wants for your life. Exactly for your life. And just because you perhaps felt like you have begun towards a certain thing, and something is hindered or whatever, and you're still wandering, just wait upon the Lord and be still and know that He's God, because in the trial you're in right now, He remains God and God alone. Be healed right now, and your sinus is completely in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Headache be completely gone in the name of Jesus. Now wait upon the promises of the Lord, because they are yea and amen to them that believe. The Lord spoke it, it shall come to pass. Don't ever doubt the word of the Lord. The darker the night, the brighter the light. The deeper the valley, the greater the victory. The higher the mountaintop. One day you'll reach that. You're not at the end of your road. You've just come to a bend in the road. You're just going around a little bit of a different direction. But you're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. Put your hands back up. All the anxiety and the nervous tension that bothers you, just being high strung as a matter of fact, be completely gone. Even your vocal cords, be completely loose. The next time you begin to sing, they won't withdraw on you, and you'll have a nervous reaction. You're completely healed in your adenoids completely in the name of Jesus Christ. Ah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Your leg all right? You can be seated if you want to. Now, if I'm right, she's healed. If I'm wrong, she's not healed, because God never did confirm error. He that knows the truth, then the truth will make him free. Your head feeling better?
Jesus, my head's fine.
Your head's fine? And something's warming up on the inside, too. And hope is stirring back up again, too. In Jesus' name. Be like Paul. Forget what's behind and look for what lies ahead. Because believe me, something is just lying ahead. In Jesus' name. Where you're suffering, put your hands up, head and knee, be healed. Put your hands down. How's your head feeling? The headache is gone. Not the head. How's your knee feeling? A little bit. We've only been on her case for about 3 seconds and already her head is completely healed. That isn't too shabby. Put your hands back up. Be loose completely in the knee in Jesus' name. And now, folks, the reason why I'm doing it this easy and this fast is because I do this every night of life pretty well. And I don't have the energy to give you a whiplash. If that's what you need, hopefully, if I don't have an energy, I'll get one of these young fellows to help me and we'll snap your neck. But believe me, you don't need that to be healed. It's in the word of the Lord that you're healed. I am not an entrepreneur of gymnastics. I simply believe in standing upon the word and believing in the name of Jesus Christ, and he shall bring it to pass. Mom, where are you suffering? You said you have arthritis, and you said you had, what else was it? Okay, come on out here, because that's the two things she told me. That's what she revealed, but this is what we're going to reveal. Put your hands back up to Jesus. Matter of fact, this left arm, drop it. In the name of Jesus Christ, every little ache and pain and crick come out right here, even in your fingertips. You can go home and lay on this side tonight, and it won't bother you, and sleep on it. Your circulation in your legs and the throbbing pains that comes and goes, even right down to your soles of your feet and your toes, they're completely loosed in the name of Jesus. The burning here stresses clear across the back. You have had a weakness and an infection in the past in your kidneys. It has even spread to your lower abdomen in the area of the bladder. You are completely loosed and your fluctuating blood pressure is completely healed. And the imbalance in the blood sugar is healed. And your eyes will be clear and they'll be distorted no more by objects that float by them. Loose! Head to toe in the name of Jesus Christ! Oh, hallelujah. Now, two things. Words are not going to float together when you read. Second thing, they're not going to leave your mind as soon as you leave. As soon as you read them. They're going to stick. And things you no longer are real good at continuing doing, it looks like you have to put them on the shelf, you will continue doing. Because it's not simply the end. God's just going to restore your youth in your older age. That's the promise of the Scripture, because you're like the eagle.
Oh, hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Go on, your Lord, rejoicing. Is there any pain there now?
No, I don't feel any.
I didn't think so, after all of that.
The blood pressure, that's gone too, I believe it's
good. If he revealed it, he'll heal it.
Yeah, he will.
You didn't tell me none of that stuff. You told me the arthritis, and you told me a weakness in the body. God knows how many hairs are on your head, and that'd be a job for me to count. So I wouldn't bother. So if he knows how many hairs are on your head, he knows what's wrong with your body. Where are you suffering, Dad? But God's going to heal your knee tonight. You believe that? Raise your hands up and be loose from it. Okay. If it is this easy to be healed, why should it be any harder to receive the Holy Ghost? It's not any harder to receive the Holy Ghost. Dad, look at the preacher. How's your knee feeling? It does? Oh, my goodness, Mom. Just have a seat here for a minute. Come on out here. Bring that knee out here. Let's get it completely loosed in Jesus' name. Jesus prayed for a blind man. He said, how do you see? The man said, men as trees. Jesus said, well, that's good. It's a change, but it's not good enough. He said, you need another touch. So evidently, this man needs one more touch. How long you suffered in your knee, Dad?
Well, I had total knee surgery about 4 months ago.
Number one, the doctors have cut on it. That's going to... We'll have to go back before they cut on it and just say, God, make it better than it was before they even cut on it. That's the way we're going to have to pray. Put your hands up. Just a second. Look at me. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my healing.
For my healing.
I accept it by faith. According to your word, I am healed. Let me do the praying now. You've already thanked him for it. Jesus, upon the confession of this man's faith, I now smite the knee condition and ask you to make it better than it was before the surgery. All the pain and suffering, stiffness and soreness come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. Thank him one more time. Come on, let's go try it out. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise His holy, holy name. Praise His holy name.
Oh, hallelujah.
Your knee's starting to feel better?
A little bit.
It is? Well, keep on walking by faith. If walking makes it feel better, keep on walking. Where are you suffering, Mom? But the Lord's going to heal it. In Jesus' name, be loosed right now, completely. In Jesus' name. How's it feel?
It's I don't feel no pain.
Where are you suffering? Put your hands up to Jesus. Sinuses, be clear completely in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How's it all feeling?
Yeah.
Even drained that quick. I'm going to pray for you for more than just your sinuses, okay? Put your hands up. Number one, the lowly desert will become a high mountain peak, and you'll find an oasis and a refreshing for your spirit. Hanging by that knot, and your grip is starting to even slip on that. Number two, I don't want to just deal out with trivial physical conditions, but I do want to get you completely set free. Right in here, right in through here, and even in your inner ear, something that comes and goes and just knocks you completely out of whack. Right here and really right down in here. You're healed from it too. Paranoia, be completely gone from your mind. Fears that just capture you, and fears of the worst happening because of something that did happen. Be free from it right now and suffer no more in Jesus' name. God, where are you suffering? Your back. Back and sinus. Put your hands up to Jesus. Let the back and the sinuses be completely loosed right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is beginner's night. I'd rather start in bulldog low and gear up than I would start in five for overdrive and gear down. So this is in bulldog low. We're just starting in basics and elementary things tonight. But we'll move on as the revival progresses. We'll go higher and higher every night. How's your back feeling? And your sinuses are even clearing already. And Mom, how, where are you suffering? You can raise it up now. I believe you. That's because He is present to heal. He can do it without me saying a word. You've already touched Him in faith. Be completely healed in Jesus' name. What's He going to heal you of, Dad? Stomach problem and back problem. Put your hands up to Jesus. And you have more than a stomach problem and a back problem. Keep your hands raised to Jesus. Father, heal the stomach, which He said, and the back, which He said. But God, I also pray for a complete healing from the kidneys to the bladder, completely every blockage remove it, and the prostate be completely healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be loosed in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of cancer come out of his mind right now. I cast you away. Let the peace that passes understanding come into him. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's deaf. Hallelujah. Completely deaf? Not completely deaf. Hallelujah. But Jesus is able to give her 100% hearing in both ears. We were just in Juneau, Alaska, the first week in June. And that night I was sitting in the little classroom, and I was just kind of watching people as they walked in, kind of meditating upon the Lord. And I saw about a woman who was probably in her late 20s or 30s with a white cane, and her mother was leading her because she was born blind and never saw the light of day. And when she walked by, just a small witness of the Holy Ghost told me, I want to do something for her tonight. But I didn't expect it to be exactly as it was, because God opened up her eyes in front of that crowd of people, and she saw for the first time in her life. What He has done for one, He will do for another. He has no respecter of persons. In the name of Jesus Christ, the matter by whom these ears come open, in the name of Jesus, death has come up. Now on the authority of God's word, be completely healed in Jesus' name. Everybody is praising God with me. Be loose. Oh, hallelujah. She's being healed right now. Thank God for what He's done on the authority of God's Word, and we call it done.